Good morning. If you're visiting here, my name is Kelly. Good to see you. Welcome. Great to have you with us today. Okay, lovely. Thank you very much. So we are continuing today with this series that John started last week called The Glorious Partnership, and that partnership is between God and us, just so that we're clear on who that is. So we're very happy to be talking about this today. Mark very kindly asked me to bring this topic to you today because it's something that is very near and dear to my heart. Who's talking? You may be on tablets because you hear voices, but hopefully not. But the fact is, God speaks to us. We've talked about it a lot. When John introduced the meeting this morning, he said, "Let's hear from the Spirit." When Brian came up and spoke to us, he said, "I believe this is what God is saying to us today." When Diane came up, she said, "I have a picture of an egg with a chick in it." This is all God speaking, God communicating with individuals and with us corporately. So we're going to look about that. Look at this bit today. There could be so much said on this topic, and by much better Bible scholars than me, but I'm going to try to just bring a bit to you today, and hopefully you'll find it helpful. Some of it is the experiences that I've had, and some of it you will relate to, and some you might say, "Well, he didn't mention this," and that's great. Come and talk to me. I'd love to hear more about how God speaks to you, because that just broadens my knowledge as well. But hopefully you'll get some gems out of what we say here today. In the society that we live in right now, we're bombarded with messages coming at us, aren't we? All kinds of places. People wanting us to buy their products. People wanting us to believe the way they are, the way they do. People wanting us to talk like they do or not talk at all. There's politics, there's, you know, advertising. It's just stuff everywhere. And it seems to me that in recent years, we've seen a tremendous increase in the amount of just messages that are coming at us. Do you find that? Everywhere you turn, it's somebody trying to send a message to you, whether you want it or not. And sometimes, like Dan Griffiths put on Facebook the other day, the Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door. They're trying to sell something. They're trying to tell you their beliefs and get you to believe like they do. But he said, "Well, we're in quarantine for the coronavirus," and they said, "Okay, bye." You know, so apparently it wasn't that important that they share that at that particular moment. But I get phone calls, and I just tell them, "No, thank you," and put the phone down. Michelle's so nice to them. She says, "No, I don't really, well, no. And I'm like, "What the fuck?" So she's much more gracious than I am. Anyway, but so what we do, we put up, if you're like me anyway, you put up filters, okay, and you say, "This is a barrier, and if you're going to hit that barrier and stop there, then that's fine because I don't need to hear what you have to say. But if you do have something I want to hear, then, you know, you'll come through that filter. You'll come through that barrier. You'll come through that gate that I put into place to stop stuff that I don't want." I get emails all the time. I'm not going to tell you what they're about, but it's personal things. And people say that, you know, "I need something," but I really don't. It's not important. It's not helpful to me. But so we pay attention to what is pertinent, and we block out the stuff that isn't pertinent. And if we're not too careful, we might block out something that really we should have heard. But what I want to do today is talk about how we can discern who is speaking to us, because it could be God, it could be the enemy, it could be the world, or it could be our mind, okay? So those are four possibilities. You might think of 10 others, but those are the primary four, I think, that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And any of these voices can come to our head, or they can be leadings, if I use that word, in our own heart. And I've already discussed some of the reasons the world wants to speak to us, but what about God? Why would God want to speak to us? Now, on the screen there, these are a few just rough drawings that I knocked up this morning just so that you could have some visual idea of what I'm talking about. But from the earliest times in Scripture, we can look at, from Genesis 3, God is speaking to Adam and Eve. I think you can find them up there. you know, he's talking with them. He's in communion with them and them with him, and that's great. He talks to Cain, who's just murdered his brother Abel. So God is actually speaking to a murderer. He speaks to Noah about building the ark to carry his family and all the animals to safety when he destroys the earth with a flood. He spoke to little Samuel, the little boy who was in Eli's care as he was growing up in the temple. He said, Samuel, you know, he called him and Samuel thought it was Eli talking to him. He didn't know. Eli, being like me, he went to bed at 9 o'clock. He was asleep. He didn't hear anything. But that's going on. So this communion with God is the relationship. And this is what it's all about, is relationship, God with us. And we find it difficult to have relationships where we can't communicate. We have a friend who is deaf, and you may know someone who's deaf, or even someone who doesn't speak your language. I mean, Texan is a hard language to learn. Most people don't attempt it, but I can tell you it's difficult. But like when we're with our deaf friend, it's very hard to communicate. And if you don't work out some way of communicating, you kind of, it's very awkward. You think, how do I relate to this person when we can't talk? We can't understand what each other is trying to convey. And it's very awkward. It's very uncomfortable. So, you know, it's also isolating. And I think this is why God really wants to speak to us as his people today. Also in Genesis 11, when people got really, they thought they were doing pretty well. And they said, well, let's build a tower up to the heavens and we will be like gods. And what did God do to stop this? He confused their language. They couldn't understand each other anymore. So it was just, they couldn't work together anymore. It's just sent them into complete disarray. So it's really quite important that we communicate. Now, I keep using the word communicate, and that sounds a bit clinical, doesn't it? It sounds a bit dry, not very relational. So what I want to do is change to use the word speak. Is that all right? So I'm going to say God speaks to us. Now, I'm speaking to you at the moment, and in all likelihood, you won't hear God speak to you like I'm speaking to you now. But I get tired of saying communicate. It's a three-syllable word where speak is only one. So I'm conserving energy. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to use the word speak. So now, we've already heard this morning, we've had prophecy, we've had a vision, a picture from God. We've had prayer and praise to God. So God may speak to us in any of these ways, through dreams. Does anybody have dreams, God-given dreams? I can only say I've had one in my life, and I won't tell you about that now. But yeah, so God can speak to us through dreams or visions given by the Holy Spirit. He might speak to us through the Scriptures, the Word of God. And this is something that we quite often hear from God through, or even from something that we hear from others. We've heard people speak on behalf of God here today. And we even say when something speaks to us, we really relate to it. It impacts us somehow. I might hear some music and say, that music really spoke to me. And what I'm saying is that I really relate to it. It's impacted me in some way. So this is the idea of God speaking to us in order to impact us. Now, I don't want to put too fine a point on it. I don't want you to go away thinking, well, Kelly said there were these ways and that's it. There's nothing else. God, I'm not going to try to put God in a box, okay? Please don't you do either. He will use any way he chooses to speak to you and to me. But, you know, these are just a few things that I just want to share with you, but it's not an exhaustive list. But normally I find that God speaks to me through my spirit in here. As you know, we're made up of different parts. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. So I could have my legs cut off. I wouldn't be very happy about it, but I'd still be me. I wouldn't change. Some of you may be dismayed by that, but I'd still be me. You could cut my arms off, and I'd still be me, though there'd be less of me, and Michelle would have to cart me around everywhere. But it doesn't affect who I am. So there's a part of me that isn't related to body parts. It's deeper than that. It's housed inside a body, but it isn't the body. And this is quite a mystery to me, and it may be to you as well. But God communicates to us from outside of my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. He communes with my spirit, and he does with you as well. Now, this can be a bit confusing to people. I didn't know I had a spirit, you might say, and you'd be perfectly all right saying that. But I just want to talk about our spirit for just a moment. When we're born, we carry a spirit within us. This is a spirit created by God, but we are born with a dead spirit. We are stillborn spirit-wise. Your spirit is cut off from God. You don't even know it's there. It's not affecting you at all. Everyone, 100% of mankind, is born this way. Our spirit was created by God, and it's the true essence of who we are, but we're actually pretty unaware that it's even there. Until we become aware of the saving grace of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit opens our spiritual eyes to see our need for this dead spirit to come to life, we see that Jesus is the only way to reach that spiritual life, and we go for it. So being born again is the process of this dead spirit within each one of us coming to life. Okay? The Bible says that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ right now. This is not a future situation. This is now. Well, how can I be here if I'm seated in the heavenly places in Christ? Because that's where my spirit is. And if you're in Christ, that's where your spirit is, seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Not now. I am sorry. I thought I'd turn that off. God's communicating through Apple. We knew it was true. This is just another example, okay? Sorry. So when we say yes to Jesus, yes, we want Jesus as our Lord and Savior, immediately our dead spirit is brought to life. Immediately we are born again. Immediately what was dead has been given life, and we are in full communion with God. It is immediate, it is instantaneous, and our regeneration from death to life happens like a flash of lightning, okay? But our body is unchanged. You know, we don't suddenly change our physical appearance, and our soul is now on a steep learning curve, because unlike being saved, which is immediate, we go through a process now called sanctification, where we are being changed into the image of Christ for the rest of our lives until we draw our final breath. God will be working on us, building our character, building us up to be like Him in so many different ways, and we'll never get there. God will never finish and go, that's it. He's now perfect. I don't have to do any more. My work here is done. He will never say that, because His work here will never be done until I'm with Him in heaven. But it takes our mind, will, and emotions time to come around to the truth of God, and we learn. And this builds our character. That's what it's called. That's what it's all about, is our character. Now let's go back to communication. God doesn't speak to our flesh. He doesn't come along and tap you on the shoulder or smack you upside the head like you might deserve sometimes. He doesn't do anything like that. The body is really unaffected by God speaking to us. And our mind, will, and emotions is not the place for God to talk either, because this is where He's working. No, the place that God communicates with us is in our spirit, right here, in our heart, right here in this place. The Holy Spirit lives within each one of us, as John said last week. He's packed His bags and moved in. He's not here for a visitation. He's here for a habitation. God doesn't drop in, check on you, just see how you're doing. He says, okay, all right, I'm off again. He's there with you all the time, everywhere you go, 24/7. So how do we hear God here? Well, I can only share with you what I've learned over my almost 40 years that I've spent with Him. God, that seems like a long time. I'm sure I'm not that old. Maybe I am. I remember when I was a very young Christian and I was first told that God still speaks to people today. I was flabbergasted. I had no idea that this was true. I thought, there's the Bible, His words are written in there, and once the ink dried on that, that's it. God doesn't speak anymore. Now, I'm not saying that God's creating new scriptures for the Bible, but God does communicate with His people today. And over the years, I personally have experienced what I would call His great joy in certain situations, and I've also experienced what I firmly believe was the most debilitating travail. And I truly believe that it came from the heart of God. I've had this still small voice inside me giving guidance, correction, instruction, and comfort. But the question needs to be addressed, who is talking? How do I know, or how can anyone know, that the voice of God or the stirring that they hear or feel inside them is that of the Lord? Well, like any good preach, I've got 4 points. The first one is know Jesus, okay? You're never going to recognize the voice of Jesus if you don't know Jesus. I might just give you a quick testimony here. I think it was when I was 18 years old, and I think this is when I truly asked Christ to come and be my Savior. I was at this little country church in Texas, and they'd shown a movie about the end times. This was really big in the 70s. Anyway, so I was responding to that, and it really affected me. I was weeping. I just thought, wow, I really need Jesus in my life. And inside me, I could hear a voice speaking, but it was complete gibberish. I remember thinking that. The pastor was up on the podium, the stage, and he invited people to come forward. I went forward and he said, you know, how can I pray for you? And I said, I don't know. I think God is speaking to me, but I can't understand what he's saying. I still remember it. It was very, very odd. But that's the only time I've ever experienced that. Later that year, I really, truly called on the Lord and gave my heart to God. And since then, what I hear from the Lord is perfectly intelligible. I do understand him. So that was a bit odd. But when we are part of Jesus' sheep, as he said to the Pharisees, the sheep know my voice. I am the good shepherd, he says, and my sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice. So we can know what his voice is. It may not be immediate. I think if you introduce a new sheep into the flock, I almost said the herd, but it's not a herd, it's a flock. That sheep has got to learn the voice of the shepherd, doesn't it? It isn't going to immediately know. So if you're new to Christ, it may take you a while to learn to recognize the shepherd's voice. But as you move through your relationship with him, it's going to happen, and that's wonderful. The second is to know the Word of God. Now we know that Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, the Bible, has got God's truth throughout. And there are times that God will speak to you when you are reading the Scriptures in a way that you didn't anticipate. When you sat down, you didn't think, I just know as I read this, I'm going to hear the voice of God. You might say, I hope when I'm reading this, I hear the voice of God. But we don't know. But we read something, and God can just, we might use the word quicken that to your, that truth, to your spirit. You might really just relate to that word in an incredible way and think, wow, that's fantastic. When I was a young Christian as well, I'd gone to university and I was writing letters, because that's what we did back then, back to some of my friends back in my hometown. And on the back of the envelope, I would put a scripture reference. And I just wrote down something that I was reading and I thought, oh, they might like to hear that. And I wrote that. And the letters I would get back from my friends that said, how did you know that scripture was going to impact me so much? I needed to hear that. And I was astonished because I thought, well, I don't know, it was just in my daily reading. But the Spirit of God speaks through his word. And this is immutable. He will always do it. He will never stop because the word is there. It is his truth and he wants us to read it. If we don't read it, we don't know it. And if you don't know the word, how is he going to share a scripture with you? I cannot ever think of a single time that I felt God speak to me and say, well, there is that scripture that says this. And I went, well, I've never read that. But I do feel God brings scriptures to my heart that I have read. And he goes, do you know, this is truth. And that way it can minister to me and it can minister to you as well. So I think we need to be really careful about studying the word, meditating on the word, get the word inside us more and more, because the Spirit uses that to speak to us. And you know, when Jesus was baptized and he went into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days and he was hungry. The enemy came to him, and what did he do? He started speaking scripture to Jesus, but it wasn't quite right. He twisted it. He used it to try to, I guess, trick Jesus. And Jesus said, no, your application of the scripture is wrong. Here's the truth. You know, man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And in that way, he drove the devil away. So if you're struggling with sin or temptation, do what Jesus did. He used the word of God against it. And what happened? The devil fled. And that's what we can do as well, using the word of God. Number three, test what you hear for validity. Something might make it past your filters and your gates, and there might be something that's spoken maybe here, and you mistake it for something here, and it says, you know, you're not really that good looking as you think you are. I hear that all the time. But I test the spirit, and I say, get out, foul spirit, you lying, deceiving thing. No, I'm only kidding. The thing is, we test the spirits because there are evil spirits, and they can speak into our minds. I put to you, they cannot speak into my spirit. They speak into my mind. And if I'm not careful, my mind will say, do you know you're right? I'm really not good enough. Yeah, yeah. I'm really not very good, am I? And my spirit is going, stop it. Don't believe that. Rebuke it. Get that out. But this is, we test everything. When someone comes up to speak, when Brian comes up to speak, anyone, we're listening to what is said when I'm speaking right now. You're listening to what I'm saying, and in your mind you're thinking, is what he's saying right? Is what he's saying true? And that's what you should be doing. And you can weigh it against the word of God. Go to the word and say, well, now, he said this, but, oh, okay, there it is, hopefully. I'm not saying anything too bad. But this is what we do to test. Make sure that what's being spoken to you is accurate. Now, the fourth thing, and this is a little tricky, okay? Bring it to those in pastoral care over you or those in authority in your life. Being in authority doesn't mean that you're right. Being in pastoral care of someone doesn't make you automatically right. So I can personally tell you that I had a very important thing that I thought I heard from God, and I brought it, this was many years ago, I brought it to Mark. I said, Mark, please help me weigh this. I brought it to other people in the church who were my friends, who I respected very much in the Lord, and I got different answers back. Some said, yes, this is definitely of the Lord. Others said, absolutely not. This is not of the Lord. God would not say that to you. But what I discovered is, on the ones that said no, I watched what happened. When I said, I really feel God has said this to me, they immediately said, no, God wouldn't say that. Instead of taking it in prayer to God and saying, okay, God, Kelly's come to me with this purportedly from you. What do you say about it? Let me hear what the Spirit says. And I feel like what happened sometimes was people gave me their opinion instead of what God was really saying. And I'm fallible, Mark's fallible, John's fallible. We're not saying that what we say goes. But I think when you put things to others to give you feedback, and the word says, in many counselors, there is wisdom, you know, and that's fine. But I'm just saying it's a bit tricky. Be careful. Be very careful. And don't make life decisions without knowing absolutely for sure what the truth is. Now, as a caveat to that, I'm going to say this. The scripture says that God is not a God of disorder or confusion, but a God of peace. And Jesus himself said, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I want to take that and say, when you believe God may have spoken to you, Look for the peace. Look for the peace. When you've got something in front of you, do I quit my job, uproot my family, and move to another city where I don't know anybody, I don't have a house, I don't know what the schools are like, I don't have a job there yet, but I feel that God has told me to do this? Do you have peace about it? Or does it wind you up inside? Does it kind of grate at you? God speaks to us and confirms truth through peace. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, and He is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And God will give you peace. There are times that you may think it could go either way. I feel peaceful either way. For us to leave the U.S. and move to the U.K., we had that. Michelle and I debated it for quite a long time. We talked to people about it. We prayed about it. And we felt in our hearts that God was saying, the decision is yours. We were peaceful to stay. We were peaceful to go. And the moment we said, you know, let's go, we got a phone call. Someone in our church said, I've got a word from God, I think, for you. Can I come over? Yeah. So came to our house and said, the Lord says, I don't know what this is about, I don't know why I'm saying this, but the Lord says, I've already prepared your church, I've prepared your house, and I've prepared your friends. The only thing that's waiting now is for you to get there. Does that mean anything to you? And we're like, well, actually, yes. But I think we had the choice. We could have chosen either way. Once we were here, we knew that this was the right choice through peace. But I will tell you this. There were two times in our early days in the UK, not since I met you people, this was long before you, but there were two times that I came home from work and I said to Michelle, pack your bags, we've made a horrible mistake. We are going back to Texas on the next plane. And I was serious. I thought, I can't be here anymore, I've got to go. Can't take it. And do you know, immediately, I was in rebellion against the Lord, and what He did, He removed from me His peace entirely. I stood alone. Now, not being one to give in to God quickly, I said, fine, be that way. I'm going back to Texas. You stay here. These people need you. They don't need me. I'm going. And I did that on two different occasions, and each time it was for 2 weeks. I stiffened my back and I said, I don't care what you say. I'm doing what I want to do. And at the end of 2 weeks, on those two occasions, I capitulated. I said, I can't do this anymore. I had to repent of my rebellion against Him, and I had to say, I'm sorry. I will do things your way. And on both occasions, immediately, His peace just came over me, filled me. And I knew that I was again in His will. So look for the peace. Peace is very important. Okay, quickly, I'm running out of time. The reasons for God speaking to us, I'm going to go through this quickly. I think it's relatively self-explanatory. One, information. God can give us information. He can. Jesus said to Nathanael, who came to Him, He said, I saw you sitting under the fig tree before you came to Me. And he went, you saw Me sitting under the fig tree? Yeah, you know. Well, why did the Spirit reveal to Jesus that Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree? It was information. He saw, or he knew that Zacchaeus was going to be up that sycamore tree, didn't he? Is that right, sycamore? Yeah. I mean, why would Jesus look up? He knew. And He said, come down, Zacchaeus, because I'm coming to your house for dinner. So the Spirit had already given Him the information. You're going to see a little man up a tree. He's going to be wearing Armani. And you're going to go and have dinner with him that night. So Jesus knew. It was information. But it led to good things. It led to God's plans. Revelation. God gives us revelation. He speaks to us for the purpose of revelation. It might be revelation for someone else. You might feel like, you know, I just really feel like God is saying to you this, you know, and it gives you The fourth thing, encouragement, okay, builds you up. It could be a dream, a vision to say, I really feel like God is saying this over the city of Gloucester or over the UK. You know, these are revelations of His will, and that such thing. Sorry, I'm trying to go really fast now. Instruction. Like I said before, He'll spend the rest of your life training you and me, but He will speak to us for our own instruction. In my early time of being a Christian, God led me through this kind of regeneration process to get my old bad habits out. And there were several. We had a list, and God had made this list, and he did them in a certain order. And He spoke to me one day, and He says, right, we've dealt with your alcohol problem. Now we're going to deal with your mouth. And I said, well, Lord, you know, what about this other sin that I have? And He says, don't worry about that. We'll deal with that later. Right now, we're going to deal with your mouth. And at that point, whenever I'm formulating a sentence in your mind, you know, you may not do this. I formulate it in my head, and then it comes out of my mouth. And as I get older, there's a breakage in between there somewhere. It doesn't quite make it. But it used to be that if I was formulating something I was about to say, if it had expletives in it, or if I was about to say something that really, you know, wasn't very nice, the gate would slam shut. Literally, I couldn't speak it. And I would hear the Holy Spirit saying, try again, change that sentence around, take those words out, do it right. But literally, step by step, He went through this. But this was for the changing of my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions to come into line with His revelation. So, I think that's all I'll say about that. And encouragement. You've got to know that your Heavenly Father is your biggest fan. He loves you. He loves you to the cross and back. He loves you so very much. His love is always on maximum. No matter who you are, what you've done, His love is always fully on. And He will always encourage us to make the right decisions. He will encourage us to respect ourselves and to respect others as we should. And He'll always be the one praising you and spurring you forward. These are also how you can tell when it's not God speaking to you. Okay? So, if we put up that list, Michelle's cousin over in America put this on Facebook the other day, and I thought, this is brilliant. She knew what I was talking on today. But there, if you look the left column versus the right column, does any of that sound true to you? If God's voice says, I'm going to still you, quiet you, calm you, the enemy will try to rush you and say, no, don't do it properly, just do it. Reassurance versus frightening. Enlightening versus confusion, comforts versus worries, calms versus obsesses, convicts rather than condemns. This is what the voice of God will do. And that, whenever that's happening, that is not the voice of God. God will never condemn you, but He will convict you. He will never confuse you, but He will enlighten you. Okay? I hope those are helpful. I'm learning something. I'm taking pictures of this. I'm learning. Cameras are for note-taking. Phones are for note-taking. I learned this from the students where I work now. They see something on the screen. They go, oh, that's cool. Take a picture of it. Where's my notepad? And I'm supposed to be writing this down. No, take a picture. Listen, it's the next millennium. We're not in the 1900s anymore, are we? So, I hope those are helpful. And I invite you, take a look at this list. Think about what's being said to you in the recent past. What voices are you hearing? And are they this voice? Or are they that voice? This voice, listen to it and obey it. That voice, tell it on your bike. I've got nothing to do with you. when Elijah was really, really down after the whole Mount Carmel thing. It's Carmel, but I'd rather say Caramel. When he had just won an incredible victory over these prophets of Baal, he was terrified and he went and hid. And he actually asked God to take his life. But God said, I'll tell you what, let's do something better. I'm going to pass by you. So he said, go out, stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. We've had a few of those lately, haven't we? But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. You will probably not have earth-shattering earthquakes and horrible winds and rain, but a still, small voice in here that says, I love you. It says, take one step to the left. As Mark has testified before, it says, when you're out running today, don't follow your normal running course. Run this way instead. And he comes across a man attempting suicide and winds up leading him to Christ. The still, small voice in here says, pick up the phone and call that friend. Whatever it may be. It's a still, small voice, not a thunderous roar. I reckon it's like a feather falling. It's more like a nuance. Just a very small voice. He's not timid, but he is quiet. So I want to end by saying this. Practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. And listen for his still, small voice. You are not disqualified. You are part of the qualified. Amen.